All right, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the message that I have for tonight is called The Right Stuff. Do you have it? And after asking those questions about the cool things that kids are doing nowadays, it seems like we most all do have the right stuff. Maybe we've got to work on a few, but not many, I don't think. So, do you have the right stuff? And we're going to be coming out of Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. So Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and 10. His mission, and this is why my prayer session next week is all about the lost. His mission should be our mission. If he came to seek and to save that which is lost, that's what we should be doing. He even said in one place, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16 and 15, I think it is. And so that should be part of our makeup. Wherever you go, whether it be Walmart or somewhere else or any place, you should be prepared, as Peter had said, be prepared to give an answer to any man and every man who asks for a reason for the hope that's in you. That's what he said. Be prepared. Have an answer already. If you don't have one right now, so if I go up to you and I say, "Glenn, why do you believe in Jesus Christ?" Don't answer now, but have an answer ready. Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why do you think there's a heaven to go to? Why is it necessary that we must live a life like this in order to go to heaven? Aren't there more roads to heaven than just Jesus Christ? Have an answer. Have an answer. There is no other name, the Bible says, under heaven and earth, whereby men must be saved. Have an answer. So as we work to advance the kingdom of God, there's also another important component to our worship. It's not just coming in here, sing a few songs, hear a message preached, and then go on about our way. We need to put it in action. We need to do things with this. This is just not me up here talking, okay? Because we're going to be preaching the Word of God. So we must be constantly checking whether or not we have that right spirit. Just like you, Teresa, do we have that right spirit? Now, your girls might have gotten a little antsy over what might have come from that. But you had the right spirit and the right attitude. And that's what we need, the right stuff. The right stuff. That's the right spirit. That's what the right stuff is. Do we have the right spirit? Because it's so easy to get caught up in church rules and regulations and behaviors. And this is the way we've always done it. And you know, we don't want to change and we don't want to do anything else. We get caught up in that we start to lose sight of what our real mission is. What's our real mission? I just said it, to seek and to save that which is lost. Same mission as Jesus Christ. We are here to help advance the kingdom of God. And so Jesus, as typical of Jesus, he is going to be teaching in a synagogue. And I don't know. Sometimes I think he does these things on purpose on the Sabbath. It's kind of interesting, but let's read what happens here. So starting in, Luke 13, verse 10. And this is Jesus. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. In other words, she was bent over like this. And she couldn't straighten herself up. That's what it said. And could in no wise lift herself up. Can you imagine 18 years like this being bent over? I can't. I don't know. And I've seen some elderly, and I feel sorry for them. Even when I went into therapy, I thought I had troubles. But when I went to physical therapy, I saw people way, way, way worse than what I was. And I sat there in my chair, I prayed for people as they came in and as they went out. And I thank God because my issues were not nearly, I mean, there were some people recovering from strokes. There were some recovering from different other illnesses, but some people couldn't do the most smallest of things. That's why we pray for one of our members here. He can't even, he's lost use of his fingers. I think most of you know that. He's lost use of his fingers. When he holds them up and he's like this to give like a high five, the fingers just fall. Now think about that for just a moment. You can't button your shirt. You know, you can't tie your shoes. Some of the smallest things. Oh, how thankful we should be that we are able to do this. Well, this woman for 18 years had this spirit of infirmity and she was bowed together or bowed and could no wise lift herself up. And here she was in a synagogue. We would kind of comparable to our church, what we call our church building. And I love this because, and when Jesus saw her, now notice she didn't ask to be healed. She didn't. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Everybody went, "Yay," right? Well, we'll find out. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Oh, isn't it so good that God gets the glory? You see, a lot of times that's why God uses us imperfect people. Do we fail? Yes, we do. Do we fail a lot? Sometimes we do. But God will use you in situations you might not even know about right now. But God will use you if you will allow Him. We can say no. God might be speaking to you to go talk to that person. Teresa, you could have said no. You could have just walked away and left him to his own self. I mean, but you can always say no. But God may be calling you, asking you to intervene. This is how He gets things done, is He moves through people. One song especially, I love that song, is "We Are His Hands and Feet." Because Christ is no longer on the earth physically. He is everywhere. He's here. But he's no longer on the earth in bodily form like he used to be. And so we are his hands and his feet. So she glorified God. That was the proper reaction to something that Jesus did in a church-like setting. Oh, how good it is to go worship and to see a wonderful healing process. But the ruler of the synagogue, they all seem to have somebody, right? There's always that one somebody, had different priorities. Look what his priorities were. Luke 13, verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Oh, he was ticked. He was ticked. Here Jesus comes and he does something on the Sabbath. How dare he? Oh, he was ticked so much. So he answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, he's not talking to Jesus. He didn't rebuke Jesus. He's telling everybody else, all the people, what did he say to them? There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Oh my goodness, I'd be so ashamed. If somebody here came to church tonight or this morning and got healed, wouldn't that be something to glorify God? Not only something to see, but to glorify God in heaven. And Glenn, I am thankful he healed you. I thank God for that. He had mercy upon you. And the thing is, God is strong and he's powerful and he's wanting to exalt his name. But what if we all just went, my goodness, here they come again, getting prayed for over whatever. Oh, that's indignation. That's indignation. We shouldn't have that wrong spirit. We need to have the right spirit, the right stuff. And this guy didn't have it. He said, there's 6 days. Okay, I agree with him. There's 6 days that aren't the Sabbath. But look at what he says. He's laying down the rule here. He's laying down this regulation. You got 6 days and come and be healed. Why come and be healed on the Sabbath? And of course, Jesus is one of those, why not? Why not come and be healed on the Sabbath? What does that matter? And so here's this guy. He doesn't have the right stuff. He's got the wrong priority. Yeah, that's not how we do things here in this synagogue. This ruler was trying to teach the people, you got 6 good days, you don't have to come on the Sabbath. I couldn't imagine saying such things in front of Jesus. So we're going to go on with this story. Look at this. Verse 15 of Luke 13. The Lord then answered him. So even though he wasn't speaking to the Lord, he was speaking to the people. He said, the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. And by the way, hypocrite is an acting term. It's kind of interesting. It's an acting term. I don't know if you remember the old plays and other things, but back in the Roman times and the Greek times when they had plays and outdoor acting, they would actually hold up a face. It might be a smiley face, might be a frowny face, might be an... Today, we use them on our phones all the time, don't we? They're called emojis, right? Sometimes I get some of these emojis and I have no clue what they mean. I haven't a clue. I get these emojis, but we know what a smiley face, a frowny face, and a lot of times I'll put the little grit in your teeth face like that, you know, when Dronda says something to me, I'll send her that. But that's all it means. It means another face. So being a hypocrite means you're two-faced. You got another face out there than the one you put on in the ear. So he tells the man right to his face, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass, being his donkey, from the stall and lead him away to watering? So the guy's sitting there saying, hey, you can do this stuff in 6 days. We don't work on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus is contradicting him. He's saying, wait a minute, you're letting your animals out for water. How much better is it to have somebody get healed than to let your animals out for water? And that's what he's saying. You're a hypocrite because you let your animals out for water. And then he says this. He says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, so she's a Jew, part of them, part of her people, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? I mean, what better time, really? This is a day of worshiping God. This is a day of glorifying God. And so she was loosed. And finally he said this, or this was the reaction. I don't know how many people were there. I imagine kind of a small crowd, but I don't know. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries, makes you wonder how many he had there. Because only the ruler was the one that was upset that we know of, that's recorded. But it said all of his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. They finally got the right stuff. They glorified God for the healing that took place. And that, my friends, is the proper reaction to a move of God. You should be glad when God moves for somebody. If I'm looking for a job and I have a friend over here looking for a job and we're both praying and he gets a job, Rats, he got the job I wanted. Is that the proper reaction? No. No. I should be happy for him. In fact, when our company got bought out, it's funny, our company split, so we were like this big, and then we split, and we became this big. And then we got sold to another company who was about the same size, so now we're this big again. So we're like twice the size. I was praying because companies have this thing, and you'll find out as you get older, that after you've been there for so many years, and you've got, you're making, you know, whatever, so much money, and you've been there for 100 years, you know what I'm talking about, 30 years. I've been there probably close to 34, I think, and all. One of the first things they do is what's called a buyout, okay? Even though you might be doing the job you love, they might come and offer you a buyout. Well, as soon as we got sold, that's often one of the first things they do. And so I started praying, started fasting. Lord, please help us all to stay employed. I don't know what that means, whether it be there or somewhere else, but help us all to stay employed. The economy's doing well in most places. And I was starting to be concerned about my job, my future. I even told Rhonda, I said, we're not going to make big expenditures. She wants a new car, and I'm not willing right now to go in debt for a car because I don't know what my job situation is going to be like. But anyway, my whole point in saying this, God answered the prayer. My networking partner, so there was three of us in our group, and my networking partner sat right across from me in another cubicle across the wall. Well, he got an email. I got the same email. I debated on whether or not to call the people, but it was a request to come interview for another networking job. Well, I didn't. He did, and he took it. So now we're down to two. So my job right now is currently, I think, safe. And I'm thankful for that because the Lord might have, for me, I mean, he knows the future, but for me, he may have looked into the future and saw what could happen and intervened. And so, thank God. I mean, you know, I sat there and every day I go to work, I try my best to thank God for the job that I have. He's so good. But the proper reaction to any healing, much less even on the Sabbath or in a church setting, is to glorify the God in heaven, the God who has such power. And there's a book. If you haven't read it, I would recommend you all should read it. It's by Jim Cimbala from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. He's a pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It basically gives you about all of his struggles. It's a story about all of his struggles from a young pastor trying to build up this Brooklyn Tabernacle. And to know them now, all you might know about them is that they're just are almost a mega church. They have like three services in the morning. They're huge. And they have this wonderful choir that has sang even before the royalty in England. But and the woman who started it played the piano and didn't know any music. And she started this crowd and choir, and it became world renowned. And a lot of the money that come in for that, they put back into the church and all of that stuff. And so God has blessed this man. But fresh wind, fresh fire. And there's a story in there. Now let me go ahead and tell you the story first. There was a transgender came into the church service. Jim had not noticed who it was, but he was talking to someone, and he just happened to mention that there was a very attractive woman standing right over there, and the man kind of whispers in Jim's ear, says, "Excuse me, Jim, that's not a woman. That's a man." said, Jim says his eyes just bugged out like this, and he was like, really? You know, because he couldn't tell. He couldn't tell. He said it was a very attractive woman to him. So I wonder, what would your reaction would have been to know, to have such knowledge that somebody in your midst, in your church service midst, was dressed up as a woman, even though they were a man? Well, it might be different for each and every one of us. But you got to remember, Jesus ate with sinners, and I think he met with all kinds. But Jim Cimbala, what his reaction was, he continued to preach. He preached, and it took some months, I think, might have been weeks, but that transgender came to salvation. And of course, they had to teach him a few new habits because he had this effeminate way about him. But they did. They taught him. And he actually got married to one of the women in the church and started a family. But he repented and he came to the Lord. Now, Jim could have tossed him out. What good would that have done? Toss him out. That would have just put him back out into the world of the heathen. But Jim prayed for the man. Even though, like I said, you couldn't tell the difference. And he couldn't. And one of the things when he wrote his book, there was a lot of folks in his church in the early days of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. In the early days, when they saw people, they immediately judged them. And didn't want that kind in our church. They smelled bad. Some didn't even have good clothes. You know, these are homeless people we're talking about. And Jim said, leave them alone. And he told the congregation, this is what we want. We want people who don't know the Lord to come in and hear the gospel. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he wanted them to hear the gospel, and he prayed. And the people came up to Jim after the service, and they asked him, they said, are you serious about this? Are you serious about anybody can come? Of course, Jim just casually said, yes, of course I am. Well, his people went to work. His people went out there, and they found, you remember the scripture where it says, go out by the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in? Well, by next Sunday, he had homeless, he had drunks, he had drug addicts, he had prostitutes, he had all kinds of messy people. All kinds of messy people to preach to. Oh, thank God.
You know, sometimes, well, a lot of times we're too quick to judge. And Jesus said, judge not that you be judged by the same judge.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard this before years ago when I was growing up. I've seen people come in church, and I've heard people say, my God, what are they doing here?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the wrong reaction. Wrong spirit. Folks, I know I said, when I was preaching on Wednesday, I made a very quick illustration, and I said, if some lady come in dressed in a bathing suit and sat down, what would our reaction be? Well, my first reaction would get something to cover her up. But I wouldn't want to toss her out. And I wish I could remember the state, because I read the article, but I cannot remember the state. Now, you know, right across the border here, we have this exotic, they call it the gentleman's club. I think it's the ungentlemanly club, Southern Exposure. And thank God for whoever, and I keep trying to read the bottom of the line, but right down there in Pembroke, there are two billboards. One's for Southern Exposure, and the one above it, without the remission of, shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Yes, thank God for those people. Thank God for those people.
They have one in Kelly's too, coming right above.
Same thing?
Well, Jesus is the light of the world.
Jesus, okay. So So there you go. You're juxtaposing a sinful behavior with Christ and giving people the freedom to choose. Okay? Now, I know the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has to draw you. I know that. But it's still, he's a gentleman. He gives you a choice. Well, in this one state, this church, and I don't remember the catalyst for it, but all of a sudden they decided that they were going to protest. Literally, the members were going to go down to their place of business, hold up signs and protest and just be in front of the people who were coming in, and they were protesting this type of business. Well, what they didn't expect, and this is what I want to bring up, is that the dancers, okay, of that place came to the church. And they held up signs and they pulled out lawn chairs and they were dressed in bathing suits. And they were right in front of the church. They weren't on the property, but they were right in front of the church on public property. So you couldn't run them off. So what do you think the church's reaction was? Well, let me tell you, there were some inside the church got the churchy spirit. Ah, those people, those ungodly people out there in front of our lawn. Why are they there? How can we get rid of them? What can we do? Let's get rid of them. No, there were some other, and some were ladies, mostly ladies, because the guys were smart enough to kind of stay back. But wives would get a little upset if I go be nice to somebody in a bathing suit, right? Wives tend to get a little upset that way. I don't know why. But the ladies brought them food, water, told them about Jesus. And you know what? They didn't get mad. They didn't get upset. They didn't leave. But people were driving by. Of course, the church is in one of the, I don't want to say a main street, but it was in a big street. And they were honking their horns and kind of making fun of them, you know. But some of the church people on the inside brought out food and water and stuff for them and told them about Jesus. And I think they were even invited in, not as they were dressed, but, you know, hey, dress up a little and come on in. Learn who we are. But I don't think they took them up on that offer. But still, isn't that a nice reaction? Now, obviously, when they protested, they didn't expect a retaliatory protest, but it happened. And so the people were kind and they were good, and they went out to help the people, to help those dancers. So what I want to say here is, do you have the right stuff? Do you have the right attitude, the right spirit toward the lost? There's people out here who are lost, who are backslidden, who are lukewarm. They may come to church, but they're lukewarm. And they don't have any enthusiasm anymore for God. It's waned for some reason. It's gone. And they may have an issue. And it might take one of us, an imperfect earthly vessel, to encourage somebody who is maybe on the verge of slipping back. And we want to pull them forward, because folks, we all need to come forward as a group, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We don't want to remain stagnant. We don't want to have just this little bit of knowledge. We want to grow in His grace and knowledge. And we want to pull people along and not leave them where they are in their mess. I came from a mess, and I don't know about you, but I'm glad, so glad to be out of that mess. I mean, I came from people who smoked all kinds of dope, you know? I mean, and cigarettes, that was nothing. It was the marijuana, it was the harder drugs, it was alcohol. Oh, the number of chances I had to just join in with that crowd. That's why I was talking about the Tide Pod stuff, folks. Well, I had buku chances of joining in. to people who were acting cool, but I had presence of mind to know that it was wrong, that that's not the kind of life I want to live. In fact, I was up at the, I call them all that, the Quickie Mart. It's not that anymore. It's the little market, or what is that in Perrysburg beside Dairy Queen? Yeah, so yeah. And I was just standing out there. I think I was getting gas, and I heard these two guys chatting. He says, "Oh, yeah, man, you got to come to our party. We're having lots of fun at our party." And I looked over at his truck, and on the passenger side had this one dude hanging out. His head was hanging out, and vomit was just rolling out his mouth and all down the side of the truck. I thought, "Oh, yeah, I'd want to join that. That looks like something I want to go to. Yeah, sure. Leave me out of it. Don't invite me." So do you have the right spirit? Do you have the right stuff? And that's what it comes down to, because the time for mercy and grace toward our fellow men and women is now. It's not later, it's now. We need to have mercy and grace. For if we begin to judge who's worthy and who's not worthy to come into your house of worship, then none of us are truly worthy. We'll be like this guy that Jesus declared, "Thou hypocrite. Thou hypocrite." No, I don't want to judge who's worthy to come in. All are welcome. And that's why we sing about God's amazing grace, because He's able to change lives. Oh, look at all of us in here. He's able to change our lives from what we were to what we're becoming and what we will be. Oh, hallelujah. Do you have the right stuff? Do you have that right spirit? How will you react when you run into something that way? You need to prepare now, because I'm sure you wasn't expecting it, Teresa, when you ran into that, or were you? I don't know.
No, because I had met this gentleman before.
Oh.
And just kind of let it slide.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a couple of years ago. But, you know, this time, I think it's the way he approached me.
Well, that's good. And that's good that he was willing to, because some people are there. And again, they're searching for answers. Right now, they're searching for answers because I think God has put a void in all of us. Okay? Ever since Adam sinned, I think there's a void that needs to be filled. I think that's why a lot of the heathen and Israel would go to false gods and other things, because they wanted to fill that void. Well, now since Jesus has come and the Holy Spirit has come, there's something to fill that void. And that's what we need to offer to other people, that, hey, look, I understand your plight. You know, I know what you're going through. Maybe not exactly. I haven't done that, so I don't know exactly what they're going through. But I understand the confusion. I understand the confusion. And I know that there's a way to fill that void besides what you're doing now. And if you're willing, you know, here's an opportunity. Come to service, or we can go right now and talk. You know, that's one way to do it, is go right then. Don't wait. If it's a God-given opportunity, a divine appointment, don't wait. Don't be like me and put it off.
And I pointed my finger
at him. Oh. Yeah. Well, see, that's good of him. That is. That's good of him. And that he's willing to at least listen to the other side. And sometimes, folks, we have to listen first before we start speaking.
You know, if I hadn't paid attention to a small voice up in the hospital one day, this soul would probably been lost if I hadn't. I don't want to pass the door when I see him in there. And I said, that's what's coming. I know him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thank God for that, because he was a man.
Because you, it's possible you could have passed it up and a soul would have been lost. Yep. Yeah, I had a cousin that I needed to pray for, and I finally worked up the courage to go pray for him. And And I'll tell you this real quick, because he was dying of cancer. He had AIDS, but that was not what was killing him. He had cancer, and that was killing him. And I went to see him because he was on death's door right then. And I stood there at his bedroom door, and there was like 14 people lined up around his bed. And I just sat and prayed. I said, Lord, I said, how in the world am I going to get in there to talk to him? I said, I got to be sure. I said, I want to talk to him. And that's all. I said all this in my head. I didn't say it out loud. And do you know, without a word, no one said a word, first person walked out the door, followed by the next person out the door, and they all just kind of single filed out the door. And I watched in amazement. I looked around and there was nobody, just him and me. So I walked in there and I asked him, told him about the gospel, told him about the hope in Jesus Christ. And I said, are you sure that when you leave this world that you will see Jesus Christ? He said, would you please walk me through it again? And God gave me the opportunity to walk him through it again. And he died the next day. I got the call the next day. I even had to do his eulogy. But I'm so thankful, Glenn, that God gives us these moments.
Yes, you know, I've wondered how many times we've walked by the opportunity that God has given us.
Yeah. Oh, I could have used the excuse of his lifestyle. I could have used that as my excuse for not wanting to go see him at all. But I didn't. And I don't know. Only God can tell me later whether he was saved or not. I hope he was. I think he might be. If you would, please stand. We'll close. Yes?
Maybe on TV for making such a ruckus, but if I ever, ever have to go in a restroom and a man is in there in the women's bathroom, I'm going to be the one that's going to come out like a raging maniac.
Yeah.
Because I will not do that.
That's a different setting, though.
That is a different setting, but that's happening.
Right.
And now it's coming to us, and I already know in myself that it's going to be a bad thing if that happens.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but again, I'm glad you said it, but that's a different setting. But I'm talking about in a worshipful setting, in a place like this tonight, we should be praying and seeking and saving that which is lost. That should be on our mind continually. Should be on our mind continually. If you would, please stand. Oh, go ahead. Well, but we should expect it. And that's why we should pray up, put that armor of God on, resist those fiery darts. Yes, the devil's going to be mad. He don't want to lose one of his. Of course he's going to be mad. I expect it. But that's not going to stop me from wanting to invite somebody or at least pray with them. You know, even... Yeah, this is what something you might not have experienced this yet, but even people who have not come to the Lord will still let you pray for them. And I've done that on a number of occasions. And one guy was just looking for a permanent job, and it startled me because I don't know that I would have said something like this before. And I told him because he said I'm working this. He was at where I work. He said, I'm working part-time. He said, but boy, I need a full-time job with benefits. I said, you know what? Let's pray for that. And while we were there, we prayed. And I kept praying. And I didn't know it. So here 3 months go by, and I'm still praying about it almost every night because I keep a list of things. But he had gotten a permanent job like a month later. And I was still praying for it. And then I ran into him again, and I said, well, how are things? And sure enough, he told me. He said, hey, I said, I got me a new job doing such and such. And I'm like, praise the Lord, you know. And I don't know if he's a Christian. I have no idea. He really never indicated to me that he was. But anyway, God is good. God is so good. Thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you, Lord, for the words, Lord, that we've heard here tonight. Help us to have the right stuff, that right spirit, Lord, that when we meet someone in all kinds of settings, Lord, when we meet someone, that we'll have the right spirit that you would have us to have. Because we know that you ate with sinners, that you mingled with sinners, and Lord, that you were instrumental in bringing those sinners out of their sin and showing them a new way to live. And God, make us that kind of person. Help us to show people that there is a new and better way to live. For we ask for the glory and the sake of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.